Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode number 283. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, any subsequent purchases you make in a limited amount of time will actually help us out. If you're like looking for a tripod like Bob was, and you buy the little new tripod behind him, you pay the same price that you normally would, but we get a little bit of a kind of a cut from Amazon from that for using our affiliate link. So we appreciate that. And it definitely helps us out with the podcast. Speaking of Bob, what's going on, Bob?
What is up, guys? It is Thursday. So we're on our new, we started last week, but this is at least for August, I guess, maybe going forward. I kind of like the Thursday because Wednesday's a more busier day for me and Thursday's more chill. So okay. I don't know maybe, what we're going to do.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see going forward. But yeah, it's August, man.
I know. That's crazy. Like, I know we were just saying, oh, it's July and now it's August and it's going to be Christmas before you know it.
Yeah. It's, you know, like as these months go on, it's like, is it going faster? Is it going slower? It's like
sometimes older.
Yeah.
It goes faster for sure.
Yeah, but I don't even notice because, again, I'm in San Diego, so the weather is always the same. So, like, I'm like,
That's true. I don't know what season it is. I just know what month it is.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, August is here. But let's, I guess let's talk tech since this is a tech podcast.
We'll say hello to Old Man in the chat.
Old Man is in the chat.
Nelson was out there earlier.
Yeah, Nelson was out there. Old Man is in the chat as well. If you are in the chat, definitely say what's up. Definitely ask questions. Of course, this is a interactive podcast. We like to talk to you guys. And if you do want to follow along with everything that we will be talking about this week, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And let's start with reviews this week. Two completely different products. One is a nice little upgrade. I know I always talk about being, I'm an NVMe only guy on my main system. And most of the test systems are all NVMe now. That's me, but I know that I'm not everybody, obviously. And I know there's a lot of people that still use traditional hard drives. I mean, that's just the fact of matter.
There's still machines that ship with traditional hard drives, right? Like you can buy a new PC today with one. So they're still out there.
Yeah. So, you know, upgrading to an SSD, and we talked about, I remember when SSDs first came out, I was like, holy shit, just the boot. Remember like just watching especially it was like Windows XP, like watching the little thing go across the little loading thing. And you're like, you would turn on your PC, walk away, make breakfast and come back. And then your PC would be booted up. I mean, that's kind of how it was. Yeah. And if you're still on a traditional hard drive, it's like that. And it's really bad. And then like loading games, I remember Battlefield 5. I, for some reason, when I was like on my test systems, I had like an old, like 2 terabyte drive for games, and like loading the levels on Battlefield 5 used to take forever. And I was so benchmarking, I would be like sitting there and I'd be like, oh, I have to wait till this goes through. And it was just annoying. So upgrading to just a normal SSD, just a SATA based SSD, is going to give you much faster speeds. You're going to cut down on your load times. They're also going to use less power, and there's no moving parts. So if for some reason your computer falls over or something happens, you have no moving parts inside. So they're less likely to break as well. And we took a look at Lexar's NQ100. this is available in 240, 480, and 960 gigabyte capacities. This is more of a it's an entry level SSD. It's a SATA based drive, so you're going to max out at 550 megabytes a second read, as most traditional SSDs do. But this drive is priced really, really good. It is the 480 gig is $50, and the 960 I think is $87.99. So, you know, a lot of those older hard drives that you have, you can easily replace with this. And he actually uses their own controller. So Lexar has their own controller. We don't know a ton about it, but it's a cacheless controller. So you don't have a DRAM cache on this. and it performs really well. And just like most SSDs, because it doesn't have the cache and because it's not made for high level writes, when you do get into a lot of writes, the performance will go down, but that's like any of these entry level drives. So again, most people, you're doing more reading than writing on these drives, and you're not even going to notice it at all. If we look at the performance, let's get to the performance. You can see, you know, it's right up there, you know, 537 megabytes a second read and about 470 write in Atto. And then, you know, Crystal Dismark, same thing, 560 megabytes a second read and 480 megabytes a second write. So performs pretty much up to its specifications, no issues at all. It's just one of those drives that it's like, it does what it's supposed to do. I know SSDs, everybody's talking about NVMe, but this is very affordable. Again, $50 for the 480 and $87.99 for the 960. It only comes with a 3-year warranty. It would have really been nice to see a 5-year warranty, but as you go up in price for drives, you know more things come along as far as warranty goes. But I gave it a 9 out of 10. Like I said, I like the drive, just a smart upgrade for people who are on a traditional hard drive. Just makes sense to kind of go that route.
I mean, there's so many people that can add this as like, you know, a primary drive to their system to get some more gears out of the, you know, CPU and RAM, right, to get an upgrade to an existing system, or toss it in as a secondary drive, you know, to load from or whatever. There's so many of those use cases out there still that this affordable drive that doesn't like break any benchmarks but is just reliable and so much of an improvement over spinning disk, it just makes sense.
Yeah, and
we're still around there.
And power consumption and noise too, because when you do have moving parts in that traditional hard drive, it will make noise. I'm sure you remember, turn on the system and then you can hear that. Like,
it's just like grinding away.
So, you know, just a nice little upgrade. So check out the review, Lexar NQ100. And then I took a look at a simple device that I think a lot of people need. Again, over this past year, so many people transition from working at an office to working at home. A lot of people were forced to use their own laptop or a company system that wasn't really set up that great for teleconferencing, Zoom, Skype, things like that. And there was nothing available as far as like good quality microphones, good quality webcams. We know all about this stuff. So Creative came out with this little device. It's super simple, super small. It is their Sound Blaster Play 4, and it's basically like a USB DAC. And like I said, it uses Type-C connection, so all the new laptops, it can go right in. They do include an adapter if you want to go Type-A, and it just has a simple audio jack on the end, so you can plug in a headset that has a microphone, so like a multi-jack, or you can just plug in a microphone itself. And the whole idea of it is that, one, it's going to boost the sound. So I'm sure you've had an experience where you plugged in like a headset or microphone to a laptop and like you turn up the mic all the way in Windows and it's still not loud enough. Like, it's just not.
Yeah. And it introduces like so much hiss and background noise, and it just makes things worse, if anything.
So basically, you know, you plug it in. I plugged in a microphone and I did some tests, and they have a lot of cool stuff. So not only, the big thing with this is that it takes out background noise. So they have they have software that you download that you can see here, and they have their Crystal Voice and Smart Comms Kit. And, the Smart Comms Kit basically detects your voice, and then when it doesn't detect your voice, it's going to cancel out all that outside noise. So, you know, you have kids in the background if you're at home, you have a pet, you know, dog barking. I actually tested this out on my balcony, and there was cars going by, and even when I was talking, it took out the cars. Now, when it did take out the cars, you'll notice the sound sounds more like robot-like, because it is taking out that background noise. But I'm sure anybody on a call would rather hear you than your background noise, right?
Definitely.
So it does, and it has a lot of really cool stuff. Again, you can do a lot with the software. The Crystal Voice is the second thing. You know, they have this thing called Smart Volume, which will automatically adjust the volume. So if you're talking, if you're basically whispering into your mic, you don't need to adjust your levels. Like, it will auto adjust your levels. Then they have acoustic echo cancellation. So if you're in a small room and there's a bunch of echoes or anything like that, it will take that out. And another cool thing about the Smart Comms Kit is that it will, because this uses a multi-connector, so again, you can connect a headset into this, they have a noise clean in. So what that basically does is that, say that you and I are, let's say like right now, you and I are on this video call and your audio is crap, like it sucks. It will actually try and fix your audio before it outputs it to this, which is really nice. So it does a lot of really cool stuff. It's super easy to set up. You basically just plug it in, you install the software, and you're good to go. There's a bunch of other stuff you can do with it too. You can change your voice to like there's a bunch of different settings to change your voice. You could do a bunch of different stuff. It supports up to, as far as audio playback, it supports up to 24-bit 192 kilohertz, and then recording supports up to 24-bit 48 kilohertz on that side. And I do have audio tests in here if you guys want to listen. So I just connected a mic directly to my laptop, and then I did it using this little guy, and it's crazy how it took out the background noise. So if you guys want to listen to that in the review, I would highly recommend it.
So I have a question. Is that application required in order to use this, or can you just plug and play and have a better experience?
You can plug and play, and you can have a boosted experience as far as you'll get more, you'll get higher quality sound, and you'll get louder recording. But in order to use like the Smart Comms Kit and the Crystal Voice and other things, you need the software.
I'm just thinking of, you know, going back to that work at home environment, and you ship these out to all your folks at home to kind of help them out getting better audio quality. And some people are comfortable with just plugging that in and that's enough. And some people are comfortable with, okay, and I can install the software and make tweaks, right? So I was just curious if the software was or wasn't required.
The software is not required for it to work.
But it greatly enhances it.
It greatly enhances it.
Okay.
It does a lot. All the noise cancellation and all of that is done in the software.
Gotcha.
So you'll need the software. And the thing that sucks is like, this will work on a Mac, but the software is Windows only. So that's something you have to keep in mind. But the best thing about this, I think, is the price. This is $30. $30.
Yeah, that's super affordable.
You know, and it works with any headphones. So like, say you have, you know, the headphones that came with your phone, you have an old headset, anything that uses, you know, the little multi-jack, you're good. And what's nice about this, because it is type C, it will work on Android too. So if you had an Android phone and you wanted to make better calls, you can do this. I believe it works on Switch too. So it works with a bunch of different stuff, but I think just for $30, being able to just have better audio. Again, we talk about that even like making YouTube videos. Your video can suck, but your audio needs to be good for people to understand what you're talking about, obviously. So yeah, for $30, I like it. I gave it a 9 out of 10. My only con was the software is only available for Windows PCs. So something to keep in mind there. Definitely worth picking up if you're doing a lot of Zoom calls or you're working from home and all that kind of stuff. So that was our reviews for the week. Nelson in the chat, he said, 3DFX Voodoo are back. Please, dear tech gods, make it so. We'll be talking about that very soon. And then Old Man said, that would definitely increase the type of headphones you could use on a laptop. Yeah. So what's great about this is like, it supports pretty much any headphones that use the multi-jack. So like, you don't need a specific headphone, you know, to support it. As long as they're normal headphones, like, you're good to go. So,
yeah. I mean, there may be some that are really high-end, low ohm, but if you've got those, you're probably not in the market for this thing.
Yeah. This is for people that just have, like, you know, the headphones that came with their phone. That's all they have. Or the, you know, like those like $10 headphones you get from work that are like the, like really crappy with the little,
we splurged and at least got people Logitech headsets, but
yeah. But yeah, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we discuss a new case modder build that's been completed in the community. We do this every Friday. So tomorrow, check the site. Well, we will have a new one. But this past week we have, it's called the Mini Black and Gold build. And this is, which this is done inside the, and again, another Antec Striker, which I think this case is awesome. And we don't hear about Antec all that much. This one's pretty cool because you have the graphics card on the front, which I like. So you have the graphics card on the front, so you can see all of that. And then you have the full mono block on this
Asus on this board.
Yeah, on the Asus board, which is really cool right there. That's a Strix board. It's a mini one. But you have all of that there. Black and gold theme, so mostly all black. Hard tubing there. All black, everything except for the gold accents on all of the fittings, which I like that. Obviously being from Pittsburgh, I like the black and gold. But I think it works really well too.
And I mean, it's all like matte finishes for the most part, other than the tempered glass, right? Like,
yeah.
And some of the water blocks have some shine to them. I guess some of those gold fittings on the radiator there are chromed or polished, yeah. But yeah, I like the matte look to this, and
I do
they
like
did a good
matte,
job yeah. there matching the gold color of the RAM,
yeah,
to the fittings. Yep,
yeah,
very cool.
This Barotech pump has the all of your info on it. That's like becoming so normal. Like, remember that used to, like, there only used to be a few of these, and like everybody has one now. And this one looks like you can just write on the, you can set the speed up and down right on it, which is pretty cool.
Little buttons there to control it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Nice. But yeah, I like this one. It's like, again, this Antec Striker, we always talk about it, is so nice, but then you just like don't hear about anything from Antec ever.
The only time you hear about it is when you see the mods using it. That's
yeah.
what I feel like, which is
not
the best marketing.
No, not at all. Not at all. So definitely check this one out. This is by Bascom. They put this one out there. We have links to their Facebook page and all of that if you want to check them out. But yeah, that is Case Mod Friday for this week. And then I did a video, which I've been working on this video for a while now. This is a video that I did on moving, because we talked about this big ass monitor that I have, this 49 inch monitor. I made a video basically going over, you know, the differences of going from a 34 inch ultra wide to a 49 inch ultra wide, because I had 34s since 2017, and I you know, when the 49s came out, I was like, I want it. And I had some actually in my Amazon save for later because I was going to buy one. And then obviously got the opportunity to review the Biotech one. And just the differences that you will experience going from a 34 to a 49. Some things I like, some things I don't like. How it's helped productivity-wise, you know, gaming on it, all that kind of stuff. So the video is on our YouTube page. It is linked in the description of or in our show notes as well. So check it out. Biggest thing, as I always say, if you're going from a single or if you're going from multi-monitor, because I think if you're upgrading from multi-monitor to either a 34 or a 49, the biggest thing is that you have no bezels. That's the best part of the upgrade for anybody. Having no bezels on your screens is amazing.
Yeah, especially like for me, I have bezels and I have different resolutions between them. You know, like your mouse is at the edge of the one and then you got to kind of move it over to navigate around. Yeah. That's always a pain. So yeah, this has got to be amazing.
Yeah, so check out the video. I go over everything. It was a lot of fun to make too. It took me a while to make it, but it was a lot of fun. So check that video out. And We are going to news, and there was this amazing story, and I saw, I was actually at the gym on the treadmill. Usually when I'm on the treadmill, I'm like scrolling through Twitter, and I see a tweet by a 3DFX, and one, the Think Computers account was like already following them on Twitter, which is weird. I don't know if I followed them like years ago or whatever. But I actually, we should probably check the Twitter account now before we talk about this, because something might have changed. Mine has, maybe they were already taken off.
It's gone now.
Let's see. Let's see.
No, it's still there. It says joined July 2021. So
the tweet's gone.
Right, but the account is there.
No, the account's still there. Is there anything on it?
The 3DFX official account.
Oh, this account is no longer in use.
Yeah. Right, but it's then follow this, right? Like,
yeah.
What's the ATI parody account? It's a parody account.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. It was just someone being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, anyways, we'll go back. So, I'm on the treadmill, and I see this 3DFX. We're coming back, and I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, if you Nelson in the chat said, you know, 3DFX was like the company that got a lot of us, especially if you're around our age, like those were the graphics cards everybody wanted. Their marketing, because back then we would all get the computer hardware magazines. I don't even remember the names of them Maximum anymore.
PC, you'd see the ads in there all the time.
Yeah, and these ads were crazy, and the cards were equally as crazy. Some of the cards, especially like the Voodoo 5, 5500, and everybody knows about like the Voodoo 2 and Voodoo 3. I mean, these were some pretty awesome graphics cards, and they went bankrupt in 2000. Their assets were bought by NVIDIA, and that was kind of the end of it. And we always talk about 3DFX because we all have that like nostalgia for 3DFX, because for a lot of people, that was your first graphics card. That was your first glimpse into 3D gaming, right? That's what you played like Doom on, or, you know, Quake or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that was what powered it. So it's near and dear to a lot of our hearts. And so this tweet came out, which is subsequently gone, obviously. And it said, I'll read what there was a picture of a statement that said, Janssen Products, an investment company in San Francisco, has acquired the assets of 3DFX on July 23rd and is currently in the process of trademarking the 3DFX name. And they also, in the tweet, they also said that 3DFX is scheduled to return this winter with new graphics cards and will expand onto other products relating to smartphones, smart TVs, and sound systems. And I saw that, and obviously the last part kind of was weird to me. The smartphones, smart TVs, and sound systems, that doesn't sound like a very 3DFX thing. And then obviously all the replies were people saying like they didn't even, the name's not even trademarked anymore, all that kind of stuff. And thinking about it, it was obviously like a troll. Like it was a troll to everybody. And then also people were still like, no, it's really happening. It's really happening. And people were like, you realize how long it takes to make a GPU. And it's August, and they say they're coming back in the winter. That's like impossible. It's impossible. Like it just wouldn't happen. And the only way that this would be a thing is if they were coming back as like an add-in board partner, for NVIDIA, making right, GPUs.
The Voodoo version, or which actually would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm sure if somebody, and that's why NVIDIA should like put out a Voodoo, whatever, just for people. But, and it obviously now it turned out to be fake. You knew it wasn't real. Sadly, it wasn't real. Old Man said they had demo discs in the magazines. I love the demo discs. They had all the games, and you could just like play these. It was awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, so 3DFX is not coming back. It's kind of sad that they're not. And if they were, this whole thing about smartphones, smart TVs, and sound systems just wasn't. I mean, it basically sounded like a Chinese company bought them, and then they were going to put out crap. I mean, right?
Trying to take advantage of the name, right?
Yeah. So now, if you go to the 3DFX Twitter account, it just says this account is no longer in use, and then it goes to ATI Parity, which
it's just an ATI
account. Yeah. It's just
which is new. Also, they joined in August
of 2021. Yeah, so I don't know what account this was before, because, like, again, we were following the account. Like,
did Twitter start like freeing up some of those old usernames? Remember how they announced that a long time ago?
Yeah,
maybe that's what happened.
Yeah,
but you would think that if that was the case, they would drop all their existing followers and start over from scratch. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because you'd hate for like some old account to just be taken over by somebody else, and then all of a sudden you end up with who knows what on your feed.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. Say, well, obviously, again, 3DFX is not coming back. If this was true, would you be excited, or would you be like, kind of weird, you know?
I don't think I'd be that excited, because I just don't have any hope for that, right? I'm semi-optimistic for even Intel coming back in and a third like player joining the game, right? To have a fourth, no, they would just get squashed out or bought again, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, how would you feel if they were like an AIB partner?
Okay. I can see that.
It would be cool if they were like an AIB partner and they only made like super crazy high end
versions of cards.
But like,
market for them.
You could never survive as a company though, like that.
No, you won't sell enough to.
Yeah, you won't.
You're spending so much time on R&D and just your margins aren't going to be large enough if you're making extreme cards like that.
Yeah. What I think is, I think one of the AIB partners should have bought the rights to the name. Because I think NVIDIA I was reading on Twitter, somebody said that NVIDIA like let the rights go in like 2016 or something.
You have Asus or someone release the Voodoo version of a card.
Yeah, which is like the crazy overclocked highest whatever. Or like a company that doesn't have a high, like even like ASRock, who doesn't have like, I mean, they have their Tai Chi cards now and stuff, but like, having that, I mean, ASRock, I think, would be a company that would do really good.
Top of the line card. Like a Lightning from MSI kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, our hopes, I was kind of sad.
Shattered.
True. Yeah, shattered. I was like, I said, I was on a treadmill. I was like, hell yeah. Like, that's pretty cool. And then I read into it. I'm like,
maybe not.
Yeah. So, also talking about graphics cards, Colorful, this is a cool card. We've seen these for a while. I think 1060 was the first one that we had saw these mini cards. I know Zotac makes a bunch of these mini cards as well. Colorful has their RTX 3060 mini. Look at this thing. Real small. Yeah, it's their iGame. Yeah, nice and small, single fan.
What is this red thing on the end of it, or on the edge?
I don't know what that is.
Is that the cover for... And then see that like the dial near the ports?
That's the overclock button. You just press it.
Or a button. Okay.
Yeah. They've been doing that for a while on their iGame cards.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Is it because it's not a SLI,
It's something with a design. I don't know what it would be. The SLI.
Oh, I think it says mini on it. Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. But pretty cool, especially like, again, for how powerful the 30, we talked about this with the 1060 and the 2062 with the minis. They're so good because they're so powerful, yet you can get them down to that small of a size. ITX systems, like, perfect. You know what I mean? So all these ITX builds, like, it's so hard to fit bigger graphics cards, and just having something small like this is just perfect.
Yeah, I love my 970 mini.
That was the first one, I think.
It wasn't the first, it was up there. Or
you have the Asus one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that was the first one. I think Asus was the first people to do it. I could be wrong. But yeah, so check that out. No word on price, I don't think. Yeah, no word on price yet. But it should be pretty affordable because it's a 3060. So yeah. And then this is interesting. This is another cool GPU thing. It's pretty interesting. So it appears as if Asus is developing an RTX 3070 with Noctua. And we've always made jokes. Like, this is a joke that was this right. Render was actually a joke that was on Reddit like a year ago or maybe longer than that. And we, you know, so, you know, Noctua is known for, you either love it or hate it, the colors. They have switched to, they have different colors now, like for their fans, the black ones and stuff. But Noctua is a cooling company. And when it comes to graphics cards, I don't believe we've ever seen a graphics card company team with an air cooling company. We've seen them team with water cooling companies, yep. As far as like you would see an EK block or a Bits Power block or something. But typically, especially Asus too, because they've developed their fans and their coolers and everything over years and years and years. So it's really weird to see them work with Noctua on a graphics card. I think
it's a good idea.
I don't know if this is real. I think somebody just made this.
Sure. No, I'm just saying. I think that's like smart to work with them because obviously Noctua is, like you said, very well known for their cooling products. Their fans are great. They, you know, they're super efficient. They're quiet, but they move a lot of air when needed. And yeah, no, makes sense.
Yeah, so the EEC, which we've talked about multiple times, that's how we find a lot of these leaks. That's the regulatory branch
body.
Regulatory body in what, I don't even know what country.
I think it's just Europe in general.
Yeah, it's in Europe. And under the manifest here is an RTX 3070 8G Noctua. So there's something brewing, right? We don't know what it is. This is just, I don't believe this is real. This is just,
I think it would be cool if it was. I think it's
I mean, that's the Strix. That's a Strix card.
Right, a Strix card with Noctua fans on it.
Yeah.
And then Noctua color scheme.
It'll be interesting to see if it's just a color, right? I don't even, maybe Noctua owns like the patent on those colors or something.
Yeah, but if they're partnering with them, they could do that.
Well, that's what I mean. So it'd be interesting to see if it's actually a cooling design or if it's just a color, right?
Oh, I gotcha. And maybe the fans to go with.
Yeah. So we'll see, but that's cool. And it's good for Noctua. I think over the past, especially like the past 3 or 4 years, they've really built like a awesome cult following and stuff like that. And they put out the other day, they're going to be making keycap sets too. In their
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so they put out a survey that you could fill out if you actually wanted them and just to get, you know, so it's pretty cool. So that is GPU stuff. I think we have a couple more GPU stories. The first is that we have leaks from future GPUs coming up. In the big story we talked about power last week, is that power consumption for both next-gen flagship GPUs could both be over 400 watts of power. That's a lot.
That's a lot of power.
Yeah. Are we going to go back to... Because I remember, because I mean, that's like the standard power supply that you needed to buy was like 1,000 watts all the time.
Yep.
And then past few years, it's been like, you know, 750, 850 were like the standards. And a lot of companies weren't even making 1,000 watts for a while because they weren't needed per se.
Yeah, they were overkill. It's like we went to that 1,000 and then you would see like 1,400 and 1,600 watt and you're like, that's just insane. I mean, I actually am running only a 650 watt in my system. Like, I know. And recently, like, I used to never hear it kick on, but I hear the fan kick on because it's reaching like a certain load level. Yeah,
so that's pretty scary.
I need to upgrade. I know.
Do you need a new? I'm gonna send you a power supply. I feel like you're.
I'm trying to catch a deal out. on a EVGA G3.
But I'm pretty sure I can send you one. I have a bunch. What's up, yeah. But yeah, so, and then this, as we talked about last week with those Dell systems, is this, are we going to run into these power issues with regulations? Because I mean, 400 watts, and again, like, if that could be the low end, that could be the 4060 could be 400 watts. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine a 4090 could be 500 watts, and that's just the GPU.
Yeah, you put that thing, that whole build under load, and man,
yeah,
you're putting out some heat too.
Yeah, old man said, I used to have two 7970s in my old system. How much power was that? Because that was back when we were, like, I remember those days where you needed 1,000 watts. I don't know what the power consumption were on those, but pretty interesting stuff if that's going to be the case. I prefer as much power as the most performance I can get. I don't care about power consumption. Like, if I need, like, to hook this thing into, like, the power line, like, I don't care. I just want as much power as I want, you know? But yeah. Do you have the power numbers on that?
No.
All right. I guess we won't know.
On the 7970s?
Yeah. Do you want me to look it up?
I'll get it.
Okay. Well, Ryan is doing that. This is a hilarious story. So the
250 max.
Oh, that's not bad at all. What was the one that was, like, really, it was like an AMD card.
I was looking at my 6850 and then I just stopped. So
wasn't the 980 too pretty power hungry?
That's so long ago. I don't know.
Yeah. Any case, this next story is hilarious. So Steam hardware survey comes out. This isn't like cumulative of all people, you know, all people's systems, but it's everybody who uses Steam. And the hardware survey came out and said that more gamers use the RTX 3090 over AMD's entire RX 6000 GPU lineup, which is pretty crazy. And I did see another story this week too, is that I think one of the main reasons for that is because you can find RTX graphics cards at Best Buy at normal retail, but also at Best Buy, the RX 6000 series GPUs are like $500 over MSRP at Best Buy.
I was looking at on there today because I was like, maybe I'll see if there's one around here, right? Like, I was getting some promos for like my Best Buy credit card that I had at one point, and I was like, maybe I'll look into this. And I was like, oh my god, these prices are crazy.
So. Yeah, and that's because I think Nvidia did this. I don't know how they did it, because obviously those prices aren't retail prices that are being sold.
It's so weird to see that from a retailer, because they don't do that for like, oh, this TV's in high demand, so we're just going to keep cranking up the price on it. Like, that just doesn't happen with other products.
I think, I don't know this, but I think that Nvidia, like, made that deal with them.
Yeah. Hey, we'll let you sell them and we'll provide them,
but you can't mark
sell them at MSRP, right?
Yeah. And I think that's the best way going forward. I don't, again, most of the RX 6000 series ones that I've seen are all AIBs. They're not AMD cards. So, like I said, that's interesting. So, that's pretty funny that more people on Steam are using an RTX 3090 than the entire RX 6000 series.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. But I think NVIDIA with the 3000 series really did a lot of good stuff. And, you know, So moving over to motherboards, the first picture or believe picture of an Intel Z690 motherboard was posted online. Not a whole lot to see here. It's not a complete board, but it gives you an idea. Lots of VRMs on there for power and everything like that. You know, not a whole lot we can discern from this, but that's apparently what this is, being built or prototype or whatever it is. But I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Would that be like an 18 plus 2 power phase design? I mean, I guess that's standard on a high-end board. So interesting stuff to see there, I would say.
I feel to discern if I could tell like who the manufacturer is on this, but there's just not enough like text. I was trying to read like the font and see like, oh, does that look like the font Asus uses on their boards, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you can see like two
CPU pins. Connectors there.
Yeah, so it's so not really sure what all this is and all of that, but yeah, these boards are getting made. Yeah, it just seems so fast, but I mean, again, time's flying by. I mean, it's already August, so I guess we'll see more of this, more leaks as that comes along. And then also, somebody made renders of what the AM5 socket is going to be like. And the big change with AM5, we talked about, which you're not a fan of, is that this is going to be LGA, not PGA. So PGA is where you have the pins in the CPU itself. The pins go down into the socket. LGA is where the pins are in the socket and you put the CPU into the socket. So this is what it would. I like that. It's so much easier. Don't have to worry about bending pins up, you know.
It's fine. Whatever.
You know,
it makes sense to change over to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, either or. I mean, knock on, I guess this table's wood, knock on wood that I've broken a Ryzen CPU by bending the pins, and I haven't broken an Intel chip to my knowledge. So, you know, but yeah, interesting to see that there as well. What else we have? We have, so we talked about it last week. Remember that mini PC that we had talked about? That was coming out with the Ryzen 9 5900X. It is, was announced by Mini's Form. They make mini PCs. This is their Elite Mini HX90 Ryzen 9 5900X, tiny little mini PC, uses liquid metal cooling. It has Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5.0, gigabit Ethernet, a bunch of USB ports, USB-C. You can see it all here. Pretty cool little system.
Yeah, a lot of expansion there, right? Two and a half inch SATA drives. You can
put
an NVMe drive. A couple memory slots there. Sure.
Yeah, cool little, powerful little machine. Will support up to 4 monitors with 4K at 60 hertz, all kinds of stuff. And here's some FPS testing. I don't know what...
They're not like crazy numbers by any means, but for onboard GPU.
I don't know what these games are. It doesn't say
what resolution or anything.
What resolution? Maybe this is
1080.
Yeah, probably 1080.
That's gotta be 1080.
Yeah. But I mean 52 frames a second, Apex, CSGO 69, Nefer, you know, you could do some fun stuff with this, especially if you turn down certain settings too. So this is gonna be, this was already it came out yesterday. So pretty cool, little mini PC. I'm a fan of it. I like little mini PCs that are powerful. Mm-hmm. And again, especially for like first PCs for kids, something small that it just fits in the room, or even like a dorm room PC. It's like perfect, perfect little size. So pretty, pretty cool stuff there. We also have information on Intel, the naming of what's coming after Meteor Lake. So Intel did have their event that we had talked about last week, or maybe the week before, and we knew the next naming or code naming of their processors was Meteor Lake. After that, we're going to have Arrow Lake, Lunar Lake, and Nova Lake. So that's kind of what we know. Somebody revealed that on the Inantech forums, and you can kind of see the roadmap here. For Intel.
Can't see
so
it.
Oh, hey, maybe if I share it.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So, yeah, interesting stuff. No, obviously no word on when we're going to see any of these, but these are just coming down the line. So, yeah, like I said, always. Do you think we're going to get off the lake code names?
Yeah.
You think?
We just got on to Lake not too long ago.
Cabby Lake? Was that the first one?
I think so.
I don't remember.
What was ahead of that now? Bridge? No.
Yeah, Sandy Bridge, Ivy Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What was before that? I don't know.
Man, those first iSeries processors.
Yeah, I don't know what the code names were for those. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get, they'll run out of lakes.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to run out of lakes. This is very cool. We talked about EVGA making a Ryzen board, right? That was a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. On the ASUS side of things, ASUS always had made Ryzen boards since the first Ryzen processors, but they never made an Extreme board. Never made one. The Extreme was always on the Intel side for the super high end. But now we have an X570 Crosshair 8 Extreme. So we have an Extreme board on the AMD side. So if you're looking for basically the best for everything board from ASUS, this is it. Crosshair 8 Extreme has everything that you want. Comes with the fan or all the extra bits that you want, like everything from the Extreme line. One of the best things that I use every day, well, in all of my reviews, is it comes with this little screwdriver that's made for the M.2
things. Oh yeah, for that tiny little screw there. Yep.
Everybody except for ASRock uses the same one. So like I got one of these in the Extreme board that I reviewed like 2 years ago, and I just, that's my favorite thing about it.
That's funny. No, this is cool. It's funny seeing like a new X570 motherboard. Right? When's the last time we saw a new X570 board come out? I bought my X570 board when the 3000 series came out, and that was 2 years ago when I bought this. So it's just funny to see a new X570 board, but it's cool. I mean, I have the Crosshair 8. I don't have the Extreme, and I won't be moving to it, but if you need it, it's there.
Yeah, it's nice to see it. We always talked about, and I think second gen Ryzen was where we really started to see parity in both lines. Because when Ryzen originally came out, the motherboards were like, you know, you would get a ROG board, but the Intel board always was better, looked better, was designed better. And then second gen Ryzen came, and the boards were very much close to parity. Third gen Ryzen definitely. And an X570, they were like some of the best boards. So it makes sense for them to make this Extreme board. So yeah, pretty cool. I don't think we have pricing, but it's going to be expensive.
Lots of USB on the back. I like that.
Oh yeah. You got a ton of USB. It's hard to see, but yeah, you got a bunch of USBs. You got the 2x2s. You got
Wi-Fi. It's a larger 16. Board. It's not a standard ATX board.
It's big.
Quite a bit wider.
Yeah. So lots of cool stuff. Check out this. This thing just looks awesome to me. I want this now. All your little buttons for stuff, all your little headers.
So and it looks like it has the plate on the backside too. You can kind of see in the bottom right there.
Yeah,
it does. The tab sticking out, so it's got the back armor.
Yeah, so really cool stuff. So check that out. In the chat, Nelson says, is Intel going to release their GPU in January? Maybe in the next I think you meant to say it, electronic show. Yeah, I think we'll see something from Intel at CES. It kind of just makes sense. I don't see that not happening. We should get, as we get closer through holiday season, we should get more leaks and more information about that. But I think CES would make sense for them, depending on how their progress is going. So I would say probably. And then Nelson also said, sweet looking motherboard. Yeah, these ROG boards are, I mean, you have the Extreme 8. I mean, they're just nice looking boards.
Crosshair 8.
So, yeah. Or Crosshair 8, yes, not the Extreme. But yeah, Aces boards are always really, really awesome. And our last, I wanted to get your take on this because you deal with this stuff more than me. So we talked about Windows 365. That's basically their streaming service. Mm-hmm. So you pay a monthly fee and you get access to basically a computer in the cloud that runs Windows. This is being offered for business only currently. So if you have a bunch of business users, they could access, you know, they don't have to like VPN into your system. You don't have to worry about security. Windows, you know, they take care of it all. It's all in the cloud. Your users can access this from anywhere. They can access it on their phone. They can access it on a very low power device, and they stream the Windows 10 and eventually 11 experience to their phone, like I said, to the browser, whatever. So when they announced it, there was no pricing. But now that the pricing is here, and it seems a little fishy. I don't know. So the lowest tier, one vCPU, 2 gigabytes of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage, $24 a month per user.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound
not good?
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Do we know if that one vCPU is one core, two threads, or is that like one thread even? Right? Because I kind of looked and I didn't see it. I was just going down the line, right? Like, I'm trying to compare these to systems that we're deploying at work, for example, right?
Yeah.
Like, standard desktop. And so we'll just go with the, like, 8 vCPU. Actually, let's do the 4. Like, the 4 with 16 gigs of RAM and, like, 256 gigs of storage. That's, like, a pretty standard system in my environment. We actually have higher CPU core counts than that. But, like, this monthly cost in a year is how much I would pay for that system. And we're going to use that physical system for more than a year. So,
yeah,
you know, we're paying for it over and over if we went to this model. Now,
do you think
that said, like you said in the beginning, they're patching, you know, they're keeping up with securing and things like that. So that you do have some of that benefit there. And if you need to just procure another 100 of these, they just spin them up for you and they're available.
Yeah.
Which is an advantage.
I think this is expensive.
Yeah, very.
What it is. But like you, the biggest advantage, the two biggest advantages are security. Because again, I'm sure you also deploy like an antivirus that you pay for. Yeah,
absolutely.
Per user or per
system.
Per system, mm-hmm. That you pay for. And I don't know if this includes like Word or anything like that, because I'm sure you pay per user on that. You know, but yeah, security is the biggest thing because these are all be running in a cloud. And then, as you said, spinning these up, you know, you especially like what happened last year, and then you had to get systems for people and still laptops happening. For people to work from home. And because that all happened unexpectedly, there were shortages of everything. Mm-hmm. It was hard to get systems. With this, you could be like, yeah, I need 100, and they just spin them up.
Yeah. So, you know? Yeah. And I mean, that's still happening, right? There's large lead times and cancellations still going on in the industry. But yeah, you could have somebody utilize a personal device and then connect to this cloud system, you know, so you can kind of get away with, like you said, having them connect with a lower powered system, but have the resources of a high end system in the cloud.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a benefit. You know, you can access it from anywhere, so you don't have to be tied down to physical locations for some of that stuff. So.
Yeah. All you need, they said, is that you can either use, there's a Microsoft desktop app or any browser that supports HTML5. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much anything. That's so expensive. I would hope maybe this business thing, like for a user, like a home user, like a personal user, I mean, it has to be like $5 a month. That's how much like Xbox was or is.
Well, and then it's like, well, they're using a system to access it anyways. I think a lot of people at home are gonna have a hard time what does this get me? Like, well, I just went down to Best Buy and bought a $1,500 computer, right? Like, they're not
that came with Windows already,
right? They came with Windows, unless they're gonna someone will start making $100, right? Thin client, like we kind of talked about originally, unless you make some super affordable device that's running a browser that can run HTML5.
I think that obviously for business, this makes some sense, even though it is expensive. And I think business will be, I mean, obviously it is being rolled out first. And as they roll this out and they learn how to scale it, it will become less expensive for Microsoft. So when it does come down to, you know, 3-4 years down the line, it will be more affordable for a single user, not a business. And maybe they will offer it to single users.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's fine. But, and they'll have enough time to develop that thin client that's $100, you know? So, cause that would be kind of cool. I mean, honestly, like $100 and then you have a computer that, you know,
or heck, you just get like kind of essentially a smart monitor, right? It's everything's built into the monitor, an all-in-one. That's got a little bit of power to at least access this.
I think too. I mean, just like all of the streaming gaming services, this is all the experience is all dependent on your connection. And I think in 3 to 5 years, a lot more people will have faster internet too. So that will help all of these type of services. But I do feel this is very expensive. The max specs that you can have, 8V CPU, 32 gigabytes of RAM, 512 gigabytes of storage for $162 a month. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that is our news for the week, guys. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at a brand new Be Quiet CPU cooler. It's big. That's all I can tell you about it. But that will be next Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. I'm also taking a look at another wireless gaming mouse, pretty lightweight. This is the Rocket Cone Pro Air. Wireless.
I love the
75 grams.
The transparent buttons on it. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I haven't turned it on yet. So I'm going to see how the lighting goes through there. But yeah, that's you can see that it's transparent when I was taking the pictures. So pretty cool. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
This one does not come with a little charging stand, though. So I'm kind of bummed out about that, because that's what I love about this mouse, the Razer Viper Ultimate. That's pretty much why I use it. So so yeah, 19,000 DPI optical sensor, all that kind of stuff. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then Ryan, you'll be taking a look at a desk.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Got a nice adjustable desk there with a bamboo top. And
which one is the bamboo?
And
which size did you get? I forget.
I did the 48x24.
Gotcha. So it's this one. Flexi
comes in multiple like sizes, desktop materials, colors of legs. They make a bunch of accessories as well.
Yeah, I always told Ryan to get on the standing desk life, and FlexiSpot reached out, and I was like, Ryan, you gotta check out this desk.
Yep.
I'm a big fan.
It is pretty nice to like. I do like just like walking, because I have it downstairs here in our family room with another setup on it. And it's nice to just like walk up and just like stand there. And I've got it like, I figured out what my ideal height is for standing, you know, and you're like, if this is nice and comfy. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So that is the stuff that we have coming up next week. In the chat, Old Man said, talking about the Microsoft stuff, he said, my neighbor works from home, but she uses a cheap low-end PC. She works for an insurance company. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much she's doing as far as that. I'm sure they have some type of software for doing the contracts, but that all might be done through like Microsoft or whatever. So, I mean, a lot of people don't need super high-end PCs. You need web browser, email, word processing, or something like that for most people, right? You don't need, you know, like I do video editing, we test games, so like I need a higher end system, obviously. But I think a lot of people, I mean, for like most of my busy work, which would be like emails, writing reviews, so like a word processor, like I use an iPad. So mm-hmm. you don't need like a high power system to do a lot of work per se. But if you are doing business work, you need some sense of security. And you obviously need to be, a lot of companies require you to be in like the Office ecosystem or using their own email servers or using Outlook specifically, or stuff like that. So Ryan knows more about that than
Outlook
I do.
Outlook world.
Okay. Yeah. So Outlook
gang represent.
Yeah. So yeah, so that is what we have coming up next week. Obviously, at the end of the podcast, we talked about if we did anything tech related, if we watched anything. I did watch this. I'm going to see if I can find the name of it. There's a new Netflix.
We watched Space Jam a while back. I don't remember if I talked about that. Did you watch that?
How bad was it?
It's not great. Shinny says his boss smacks him if he doesn't use Outlook.
Yeah, I mean, I would never want to. I remember using Outlook, and then when I switched to like web-based Gmail, I was like, this is amazing. And back then, especially, it was like, this was before Outlook had like a web-based client. So you mm-hmm. had to use the physical like Outlook app, which was garbage anyways. And like using like a web interface that I could use on like any computer was like awesome.
I'm a fan of Outlook, so sorry.
Yeah. Space Jam. I'm not a fan of LeBron. I'm not a fan. I don't like LeBron.
And to be honest, like I could go either way. I don't mind him, but it definitely doesn't paint him well, in all honesty. Like the way they
really
portray his character and attitude in there. At first I was kind of like, God, like why would you agree to this?
Yeah,
just attitude.
Sometimes you don't like you don't know, too. That happens a lot.
Yeah, wait, you cut it like this, and now I look like an asshole.
Yeah, so I'm not like whenever it comes to like a streaming service, it's probably on Disney Plus, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Disney Plus. Yeah, so I'll have to check it out on there. I think LeBron's trash, but that's just me. I think he's very talented. I would never say that he's a bad basketball player, but just him as a human, I think he's pretty, you know, trash. But the thing is we see all these remakes and they never, I'm trying to think of a remake that has actually been like, okay, this is good. You know, I don't remember there being one. Any remake of a movie that, you know, because we're living in the nostalgia era because everybody wants that stuff. So. Nelson says, will you watch the Transformers movie in the theater?
And I looked it up. I didn't even realize
there's a new one
coming out. I didn't realize there was either. It looks like it's coming out like in June 2022 in Singapore, so who knows when it'll be released in the US.
Gotcha.
Of the Beasts, so it looks like it's, and I don't know if there was a trailer, but it looks like there's a bunch of new news recently. Maybe
who's in it?
Ron Perlman is Optimus Primal, which I can tell that, like, I'm seeing a little thumbnail and I'm like, yeah, this definitely looks like it would be Ron Perlman if he was a Transformer.
Gotcha. What was I going to say? Oh, I am going to see. I do want to see, and this is a remake as well. Well, it's like a continuation of the story, but I do want to see Maverick in theater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's one that I want to see in the theater. So I will go see that.
Shinny's excited.
Yeah. Shinny's super excited. He said Optimus Primal. Totally Beast Wars. Yeah. But I watched a documentary. There's a new documentary on Netflix about John DeLorean, obviously the person that made the DeLorean. This is a three-part series. So it's like 3 one-hour episodes. Pretty cool. I knew most of the story. There's not a whole lot of new info in this. But they do have a lot more people than some of the other ones did. Like his ex-wife is on there, his son. You know, some more information and kind of goes a little bit more into the backstory of like his life a little bit more before he was, you know, who he was. And I didn't even know that like he like got like plastic surgery and did all this stuff to himself. And so it was it's interesting. And it kind of, it honestly reminds you a lot of Tesla. Just because it is so hard just to make you, it's so hard to make your own car, like to actually do it without the help of a real car manufacturer. I mean, just like just like we were talking about earlier, like graphics cards. Yeah.
Roll up and be like, "Hey, we're gonna make graphics cards."
But, yeah, and it talks about like the factory they had over in Ireland and all this stuff. It was interesting. So if you want to know a little bit more about that, then you
it's can, funny that the tag says cocaine there, and then it's also fun that? The tag right there on the front of the car.
Oh, I never noticed that.
And it's also funny because my kids and my wife were going to be watching Back to the Future tonight. They've never seen it, and obviously it has a DeLorean in it, so
yeah, so
which I think is it. where most kids and people our age actually became familiar with the DeLorean, right? When we were kids, we weren't seeing them riding around town. You'd see one, very few and far between, but yeah, you see them on Back to the Future, and that's where we were introduced.
Yeah, Oldman said, most of the reviews I saw for Space Jam and New Legacy was that it was a big commercial for WB.
I mean, maybe, yeah, there were a lot of WB properties. I don't want to spoil any. I mean, I don't think it's spoiling. You know, there is a lot of their properties showing in the crowd for the big game. Ranging from all their properties, not just like Looney Tunes and cartoons.
Yeah, I think we're coming to a point now too where there's like, I mean, we saw it a lot with like Pepsi and some of those other things that were like, you know, you'd see them in the movie because like they had to have like a drink. You know, like this would be a sponsor, but now I do feel in some movies it's kind of like overblown. Like there's just
it just feels obvious sometimes.
Yeah, it feels way too obvious. And it's just like before it was like a little subtle, like they were at the mall and they had like a cup that said like Pepsi on it. Now it's just like in your face. Yeah,
I notice it with cars a lot of times. I'm like, wow, they are sure all driving all new Chevys in this, right?
Like, well, yeah, and like it makes no sense too, because like
a shot of the car that just highlights the car more than it ever would need to be in this shot. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, and it's like this car is being like shot at, and then like in the next scene, it's like there's like hardly any damage on it. You're like, oh, that's not real, you know? But yeah. Yeah, or it's
is
like
that one
oh, it's
of your like Monster Cans that's highlighting Apex Legends.
No, this one does not have it on it. Other one that I had the other day did. But yeah, but anyways, the DeLorean, pretty cool. That's all I did. I mean, I got a new tripod, which is this guy right here. I got a new tripod, and that's I've been basically working on reviews. So, and I made my video for this big monitor that's right here in front of me. So I guess we'll go ahead and end the podcast here. Shinny's here, so I assume he will be playing Apex. We have what season? Is it new season? Correct?
Season 10.
Yeah. New season. Season 10. New map. New new hero new champion.
And map adjustments to existing maps.
Yeah. So we are going to jump over to Twitch. Twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go ahead and head on over there. If you guys did enjoy the podcast, it'd be awesome if you gave us a review on whatever podcasting app or whatever that you listen to this on. It'd be awesome if you could do that. And again, new times going forward, or not new time, but new day. So we will be Thursdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we will see everybody next week.